Hello, and welcome back to Crescent Moon Kids Podcast, where we discuss all things parenting and raising kids. My very first episode, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago now, was about children and technology. And I thought now would be a great time to revisit this topic, since we're seeing an uptick in screen usage across the board with kids, and we also have many issues that are facing kids these days, and really we need to kind of look further into this. We have an epidemic of obesity in children. There are so many chronic health issues. I see a lower executive function in some children. There's reduced core strength as well as weaker fine motor strength. A lot of kids have less physical stamina. There's anxiety, nightmares, speech and language issues, problem-solving challenges, and critical thinking challenges, and lowered ability to focus and concentrate. And this is just a few of the challenges that are facing kids in our culture. And they are definitely challenges that I have seen increase in kids over my 30-year teaching career. Now, I know there's not just one culprit to blame, but I do know that the increase in screen usage is a major player, and it's definitely worth exploring. I also don't want to pretend to simplify this topic, because I know it is complex. However, during that lockdown, the COVID lockdown, I know that parents resorted to using screens a lot more than they possibly would have. And this was obviously to simply just get through and to survive. And I totally understand that. So I thought it would be timely to share some helpful information on this subject and kind of bring it back around full circle and help people really begin to understand a little bit more deeply what's at stake here. So I've been really fortunate to learn about an amazing medical doctor and who's done some incredible research on the topic of screens and their effects on the developing brains and bodies of children. Her name is Dr. Victoria Dunkley. It's D-U-N-C-K-L-E-Y. And I've referenced her, I think, before, probably in the first podcast I did. She's a psychiatrist, and she's studied the effects of screens on children for many years, and she's established some protocols to help guide children and their parents in toward a healthier lifestyle. I want to emphasize here that I'm not anti-screen, nor am I anti-technology. So I just want to be clear on that up front. I believe there are many wonderful benefits to using technology. However, the main issue that I want to bring to light is this in this conversation is the fact that we're exposing children to screens when their brains are developing, and often the developing brain is unable to handle the excess stimulation. Now, adult screen usage and exposure is a completely different topic, and that's a discussion for a different time for others to ponder. So with this episode, I really want to focus on the effects of screens on children, which is, again, very different from the effects it has on adults. So on her website, Dr. Dunkley says, and this is a quote, "Because electronic screen media is unnaturally intense in terms of sensory, cognitive, and psychological input, it's designed to keep the user engaged. It tends to overstimulate the nervous system. The brain interprets all this stimulating input as a form of stress. This in turn triggers fight or flight reactions and a high state of arousal, making it difficult to wind down and sleep deeply." And that's the end of that quote. And then she goes on to say, and this is another quote, "Children or teens who are, quote, revved up and prone to rages, or alternatively, who are depressed and apathetic, have become disturbingly commonplace. Chronically irritable children are often in a state of abnormally high arousal and may seem, quote, wired and tired. That is, they're agitated but exhausted. Because chronically high arousal levels impact memory and the ability to relate, these kids are also likely to struggle academically and socially." And so that's the end of that quote. And she goes on to say, parents and clinicians are really barking up the wrong tree. Because, again, here's another quote. At some point, a child with these symptoms may be given a mental health diagnosis, such as major depression, bipolar disorder, ADHD, or other issues. And they're offered corresponding treatments, including therapy and medication. But often these treatments don't work well, and the downward spiral continues. So she says basically what looks like a mental disorder has been shown to simply be caused by overuse of electronics. Here's another quote. She says, children's brains are much more sensitive to electronic use than most of us realize. In fact, contrary to popular belief, it doesn't take much electronic stimulation to throw a sensitive and still developing brain off track. Also, many parents mistakenly believe that interactive screen time, internet or social media use, texting, emailing, and gaming, isn't harmful, especially compared to passive screen time like watching TV. In fact, interactive screen time is more likely to cause sleep, mood, and cognitive issues because it is more likely to cause hyperarousal and compulsive use. So that's the end of that quote. So she goes on to point out 6 psychological mechanisms that explain electronics' tendency to produce mood disturbances. So the first one is that screen time disrupts sleep and desynchronizes the body clock. The second is screen time desensitizes the brain's reward system. Thirdly, screen time induces stress reactions. The fourth one is screen time overloads the sensory system, fractures attention, and depletes mental reserves. And then the fifth one, screen time reduces physical activity levels and exposure to green time. So back to the first one, lights from the screens mimic daylight, which suppresses melatonin and then causes hormonal imbalances and causes brain inflammation. The second one, when she's talking about the reward system, as the brain pathways are overused, they become less sensitive. Then the child needs more and more stimulation to get the same dopamine effect. And then when she's talking about how it induces stress reactions, so when a child's stress reaction is activated, there's a fight or flight response, and that can lead to chronic stress. And then it suppresses the frontal lobe where mood regulation and executive function occur. And that's what one of the things that I was mentioning earlier, I've noticed a decrease in executive function skills. And so then basically she goes on to kind of explain more in detail some of those. And the last one, when she was talking about exposure to green time, that's being outside in nature, and it's been shown to restore attention and lower stress when children are outside or in interacting in nature. So all of this information I sourced on the website drdunkley.com. It's drdunkley.com. And so she's got a ton of resources and a lot of research, and she's just really been able to make it clear, I think, how the screens are impacting children. And so then another website that I sourced is mayoclinichealthsystem.org. And so on that website, besides the threat of obesity and irregular sleep, there were some other issues that they bring up relating to screens. The article was entitled "Children and Screen Time, How Much is Too Much?" So they talk about behavior problems, impaired academic performance, violence, and less time for play. So there was a study apparently that showed elementary students who spend more than 2 hours a day watching TV, playing video games, or using a computer are more likely to have emotional, social, and attention problems. And then those who have screens in their bedrooms tend to perform worse on tests, which is the academic performance. And then also exposure to violence desensitizes children to violence. And as a result, children might learn to accept violent behavior as a normal way to solve problems. And then finally, that less time for play is just obvious that once they're on a screen, they aren't in interactive, creative play as much. So in the meantime, the article then goes on to address some steps to reduce screen time. So the first one is eliminate background TV. So if it's in the background, it's likely to draw your child's attention. So if you're not actively watching a show, just turn it off and keep it off. Keep TVs, smartphones, any kind of screens out of the bedroom. Children who have electronics in their bedrooms watch more than children who don't, obviously. And then it's harder to monitor the screen time. So it's important to keep those out of your child's bedroom. And then they also talk about not eating in front of a screen. So that habit encourages mindless munching, which can lead to weight gain and other problems. So and in another website, harvard.edu, there was an article by Deborah Bradley Reuter. And she was talking about a pediatrician named Michael Rich. And he, and this is a quote from him, he was doing some research. The growing human brain is constantly building neural connections while pruning away less used ones. And digital media use plays an active role in that process. Dr. Rich says, much of what happens on screens provides impoverished stimulation of the developing brain compared to reality. Children need a diverse menu of online and offline experiences, including the chance to let their minds wander. And here's a quote. He says, boredom is the space in which creativity and imagination happen. So Dr. Rich is the director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital. So some of the tips that he had in this article were, beware of digital media distraction. He says half of all kids and 3/4 of parents feel the other is distracted when talking to each other. He says have regular sit-downs, screen-free meals with your kids, and then put down your device and be present and observe the world around you and let your mind wander sometimes. And it's really important to avoid the blue light emitting screen use before bedtime. And finally, he says, help your children plan how to spend their time, focusing on important and favorite activities to avoid sliding into the screen abyss. And then one that I wanted to add here, this is something that's been on my mind a little bit, is making sure that you monitor your kids' online activity. The real threat from predators is higher than ever, and the access to children is even greater. So this is something most of us don't want to think about. It's something we absolutely would prefer not to have to think about or talk about, but it is vitally important that you discuss this with your kids when you think the time is right and when they have access to the world at large through social media and the internet. So the biggest impact I see as an educator is that there's a reduction in creativity and imagination and critical thinking and emotional awareness. And then in self-regulation, kids are exposed to screens early in their lives, and this has become the norm in our culture. And while this is not likely to change, nor am I expecting it to, it seems that we can create maybe a more healthy environment in which the children are able to experience everything that they need to in order to develop normally. So to revisit the concept of real experiences, I was thinking about how kids need to explore through their senses. Now, this is what we do every day in Montessori classrooms, and the children are able to touch, they manipulate, they feel, they see, they hear, they smell, and even taste. So everything comes in through the senses. They get real life experiences, and that informs their whole body and their mind, and it creates those essential neural pathways that was mentioned earlier. So I hope the brief information that I've kind of outlined here has given you some food for thought and helped you understand the possible detrimental effects of screen time on the developing brains and bodies of children. That's the first step, the recognition and acknowledgement that there is a potential harm when children are exposed to screens. So vigilance, monitoring every single thing they're exposed to, disallowing nighttime usage, strictly limiting the time they're exposed, And then watching for any behavior changes are all ways to make sure your child is not being harmed mentally, psychologically, or physically. Then we can talk about what to do instead. But before we get there, I do want to mention that some people are worried that their kids will be behind other kids if they're not experiencing technology early in their life. So you may remember hearing reports of famous people in Silicon Valley who did not allow their kids on technology. This was because they understood the effects on the developing child. So those advanced, quote, techies knew that technology is an absolute wonderful tool for advancing a culture, but not so great for a child's developing brain. We need to remind ourselves that kids will learn and they'll pick up anything they need to know. And especially because technology is changing so rapidly, there will always be something new to learn. So the fear that they will be left behind or not know what they need to know in order to function in a technological world is really not a valid concern, because there will be a time and a space for them to learn what they need to know. And so with that being said, let's explore what they do need instead. They need rich language experiences by interacting with real people. It's been shown that kids who get information from a screen do not retain it as well as if it comes from another human being in which they can interact face to face. They need time in nature. They need to be moving, exploring, hiking, climbing, taking risks, overcoming obstacles. They need to read and be read to. They need to cook, clean, wash dishes, sort laundry, fold clothes, learn how to sew and garden, care for pets, all those practical skills that are so critically important. They need to be visiting a museum or a park or a nature preserve or zoos. They need to learn to be a member of a community and perform community service, helping the elderly, or things like that. They need to play board games, card games, and do science experiments. And they need to have a consistent schedule, including a firm bedtime routine. Now, you can add your own ideas here, those that I've not mentioned. I think once you start on that path toward realizing the idea that you need to depend on technology or your kids will be left behind if they don't have daily access, you'll discover a whole new, well, actually old, world out there. One that allows for the healthy development of their mind, their body, and their spirit. So as we navigate this tricky and confusing landscape of screens and technology for kids, please just keep in mind a few things. For young children, strictly limit screen time. I think even the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended maximum screen time allowed is too much, and that's just my opinion. For older kids, make sure they're getting off the screens routinely and that there's a limit to how much time and what kind of exposure they're getting. So really be vigilant, on the lookout for any behavior issues that could be sourced back to overuse of screens. And challenge them to come up with ideas that are outside the wheelhouse of screens, such as possibly creating a drama production or writing pretend news reports or stories, painting, drawing, baking, sewing, again, all of those practical skills. Now, my kids used to create what they called infomercials, in which they would pretend to be advertising for a silly product or service. Sometimes this would just get totally goofy, and they had a great time creating and using their imaginations. And you can even give your kids your smartphone to create this, whatever they're trying to create. Give them role models. Be a good role model. Make sure you're not on your screen when they're awake and with you. And if you are, they're going to want to be as well. And obviously, there may be times when you have to be, but try your best to make sure that you're actively engaged with them in communication, conversation, or activities. So these are just a few of my thoughts and the research of others on this topic, and I hope this has been helpful and not too guilt-inducing. Of course, we all want what's best for our kids. They do deserve a bright future, and so let's give that to them and understand that screens have a very limited place in the lives of children. As always, thanks so much for listening, and until next time.